morning and you have a teenage child, stand up. If you're here and you have grandchildren, that it won't be long, there'll be teenagers, stand up. If you're here and you have children, stand up. Now I want you to look around. Because about 1:30 this morning, the Spirit of God woke me up. I had no idea Pastor wasn't going to be here. In fact, when Sister Linda put the mic down, I sat down and everybody looked at me. But I'm talking to you this morning. You may be seated. I want the worship team to get ready to come back up here. Just as quick and as fast as you can. But I was reminded this morning, about one, it was exactly 1:39. The Lord woke me up. And he said, remember the message you preached. That sheep draws wolves. I said, yes, Lord, I remember. Then I seen some faces of teenagers that once sat in this church that's not here anymore. Because the wolf came and devoured them. And we sit back and we allow it to happen. Listen to me. There's a heart's cry in this parish like never before. Brother Josh, I talk to a lot of people. I get lots of phone calls concerning school, concerning my business, concerning our community. And I'm telling you, there's a heart's cry that's going out. You know, I got a phone call the other night from a man that I never thought he would ever call and ask the questions he asked. And I'll not go into detail about what we talked about, but I'll never forget the statement I made right before we hung up. I said, let me tell you something. The problem in the church, and I'm not talking about this church. I'm not talking about just the church across the street. I'm not just talking about the church up the road or down the road. I'm talking about the church in general across America. The problem with the church, I told him this, I said, is we fall in love with man and we fail to fall in love with God. I said, but when people realize who God is, and we fall in love with him, we'll not look for an excuse to quit going to this church to go to the church down the road or up the road. We'll not look for an excuse to quit going to the church down the road or up the road to come to this church. I said, when we fall in love with God, it'll change our whole outlook on life. Brother Josh, come here. Little Jack. Come up here. I want you to face the audience. If the enemy, I said, if the enemy would have had his way, these two guys wouldn't be here. you know what it took? The Holy Ghost began to knock. I said the Holy Ghost began to knock. And sometimes the knock got a little loud. It got a little harder. But you know, not only was it knocking on the doors of their heart, but God prepared somebody. He woke somebody up. He got a hold of somebody and said, go get them. Listen, if you stood up, for anything that I said thus far in this service, I'm talking to you this morning. God is knocking because there's a group of young people. There's a group of people that has left this church because the enemy came in and told them a lie. Because the enemy came in and he sat beside them and he whispered in their ear and said, this is not for you. And they believed the lie of the devil and they're being deceived right now. But God is knocking. God is calling and he's saying, go out and go get them. After the Lord woke me up, I went back and I laid down in bed. And at some point this morning, I had a dream. I found myself sitting in a congregation of a church of about 3,000 or 4,000 people. And I'm sitting there. And song service was going on. And if we would judge it, if we were running across a scale, Brother Josh, it would have been considered an awesome song service. According to man's scale. But then it was asked to dismiss children's church, and about half the church went in a children's church. This church was half young people and half adults. And the preacher got up and he began to preach. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, Lord, what am I doing here? Why did you send me here? Because everything he said, very little, edified God. Everything he said, very little, gave honor or glory to God. And the Lord showed me, he said, you see, a lot of times, you get the truth about who I am, and we fail to grab a hold of it. But listen to me, in America, there's a many of churches across our country that they preaching and they think they're preaching a word, but they're honoring God very little. They're edifying the Spirit of God very little. They're giving God very little glory. You know, I thank God for a pastor that's willing to sell out, that's willing to be different, that's willing to not be part of the crowd and say, I'm going to preach what God tells me to preach, and we're going to learn about who God really is. Because that's what's going to see this church make it. That's what's going to see our parish and our community to make it. You know, I talk to people often. I get phone calls often about the community. In fact, we're about to set up a meeting, and we're going to invite some parents from this church and throughout the community to attend this meeting. And it's going to be concerning some of the drug problems that we have in this parish. Some of you, if you would really know, you would be scared to go to bed at night. How serious it is in this parish. But the church has been sitting back. Listen, we have never, I want you to hear this morning. We have never had an opportunity in the church world like we do now. I've never had people say, can you come and talk to this detective? Can you come and talk to the sheriff's department? Can you come and talk to so-and-so? And let's see what we could do. What can be done as a community to come against the problems that we're facing, to come against the things that it's coming against our young people? The church world has never been offered that opportunity in the history of Plaquemine Parish like it is now. And we need to take it and we need to hear God and go with it. Listen. It is a problem. How many of you have seen somebody having a problem and you said, well, I'm just not going to get involved? It's time that we get involved. Because your little Johnny, your little Susie is not exempt from it. There has literally been kids in Plaquemine Parish in our community that has been balled up and thrown away like a scribbled on piece of paper. It's like it wasn't worth nothing. See, that's what the enemy does. But God's trying to get a hold of you and I and teach us how to grab them and love on them. How to teach them about the truth of serving God, about who God really is. But I was in this church service. And the service ended. And the pastor called me, and we sat down and we began to speak. And the Lord told me, he said, share your story. And I began to share with him what happened a year ago in October. How that the Lord gave me life back. I began to share it with him. And he's sitting there and he's just looking at me, Brother Josh. And he was looking and hearing, but it was like he wasn't paying attention. And I got up and I left. And I said, Lord, what is it? I said, God, what's taking place here? Because I got to the point that the doctor's done all these tests and they never found nothing wrong because God, on the way to the hospital, performed the complete miracle. You see, the Lord said, this is what happened. Because a man never done it. Look at your neighbor and say, because man never done it. It was hard to grab a hold of what I done. Because there was no surgery performed. Because there was no medical procedures done. It was hard for him to grab a hold of what God done because God leaves no scar. God leaves no evidence of surgery. God doesn't have to cut our flesh to go in and perform a miracle in our body. But what he does, he reaches down. I said he reaches down and he fixes what's wrong. He makes right what the devil tried to tear apart. He puts it back together and he leaves no scar. But you know what? I got up and my heart was troubled because when I said it's all got to be all about God, when I made this statement to this pastor and I said, did you ever go back and see what you missed? Did you ever go back and read the word of God and see what God's really saying about who he is? And he couldn't even answer. He wouldn't answer. You see, not everybody's going to hear this. Not everybody's going to receive it. But let me tell you something. If we want to see our family covered by the grace of God, if we want to see our loved ones coming and serving God, we better realize and grab a hold of what pastor's been preaching about who God really is and start giving God the glory and give him the honor like never before. And we're going to see God begin to move on our behalf like never before. See, we're not exempt from it. Listen, some of those things that you see on the news, it's not just happening in New Orleans. I said it's not just happening in New Orleans, but it's right here in our community. You know, I'll never forget, I made this statement to a lady. She said, "I don't understand. It seems like the more we try, the worse they get." And I made this statement. See, I can do any kind of drug known to man. I can drink any kind of alcohol ever made. And I can quit doing that. But I can go and find something, Brother Brian, that'll take its place. I can go and find something that'll fill that void, empty spot. Your husband or wife can leave one another. And you can go out and search throughout the world and find somebody to fill that spot. But the reason it looks like people's getting worse, the reason it looks like they're doing more and more than they'd ever done, is because once you know God, I said, once you know God and you have a relationship with Him, and you walk away from it, the world has nothing that can ever fill the void, empty spot that it leaves. The world can't give you anything that'll fill that emptiness when you walk away from God. So therefore, they go and try everything known to man. They try everything they could get their hands on, Pastor Chad. And they're trying to fill a void, empty spot that only God can fill. You know what fills you? What it takes to satisfy us when we're walking with God and we start feeling dry and empty? The only thing that can satisfy us is more of Him. Said more of Him. But we have to want it. And I can tell you from some of the phone calls I've received in the last month, the hearts of our community, there's a heart's cry that's going out that's looking for something that's going to satisfy people. And they'll only find it in God. You know, when my phone rang and I answered and we started talking, I said, "Lord, you just tell me when is the right time to just throw it in." How many of you remember Pastor said you're only going to have a small window? And listen, when that window began to crack, I threw it in that it's going to take God. We can't do it through man. We can't do it because we like our pastor so much. We can't do it because we just attend church, because it's more to church than just attendance. We have to have a relationship with God and realize who He is and allow God to begin to do the changing. You know, a few weeks ago, the Lord woke me up and it reminded me of the message of that pastor preached about planting a seed. You know, the church has drove more people away because we went to plant the seed, and after we planted the seed, we wanted to make it grow. And I said, "Lord, what are you doing here?" He said, "I didn't call you to change people." So that didn't call no pastors to change people because you can't. Said, "All I called man to do is share my gospel, share my word, and plant the seed and let me do the changing." You know how you can tell people that comes in and they change because man wants them to? They're not here very long. They changed because their emotions were stirred. They changed because somebody told them a good story. Well, I have a story to tell you. And it's not very long. The story is, let's grab a hold of God and realize who He is. And allow Him to become real in our hearts and lives like never before, and it'll change who we are. I have just a few more books left. I'm in Corinthians right now. Just a few more books and I'll be done going through the Bible again. And thus far, I found nothing in the Word of God from Genesis to Corinthians where God is going to share His glory with anybody. I never found nothing where God is going to change who He is. Listen, go read in Corinthians where it talks about the stars. How many of you walked outside on a clear night and you just looked up in the sky? The Bible says every star was created different. How many of you, was it last week? We had the big boom. How many of you heard that or felt it? Well, I heard it because I was in my truck. I didn't feel it, but some people said their house shook. If you heard it or felt it, lift up your hand. But there was people said they heard it in Burris. Some said they heard it in Boothville. Some in Venice. But as fast as you heard that, that's how quick Jesus is coming back. Won't be no warning. You know, you go on vacation on a Gulf Coast and throughout the day you see these airplanes flying with big old signs telling specials of the day or the night. There won't be an airplane flying across the sky with a big old sign behind it saying Jesus is about to come back. It's just going to happen. But you see, God, in all of His mercy, you might have been here. You might be here and thinking, you know, I just can't sleep sometimes at night. You ever thought maybe it's the Lord trying to wake you up and show you things? I can promise you, if you get up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning from a dead sleep and you're wide awake, God's trying to get your attention. He's trying to lay somebody on your heart. He's trying to get you to understand that there's somebody we need to go and get. Now, if you're here, I want them to start singing any one of the songs that you sang this morning. And if you're here, see, the reason I have these two standing here is because there was a time somebody had to leave the comfort of their home. Somebody had to stop doing what they were doing. And they went and get them. said they went get them. You know, I'll never forget. I want you to hear this. Maybe you didn't fully understand when I say God's not looking for you and I to change people. You know, I'll never forget. I was riding in my truck one morning. And the Lord said, call Josh. So I called his phone. And he didn't answer. So I just waited. And I left a message. And this is what I said. I said, brother, I'm just calling to tell you I love you. And you got this. And I hung up. And listen, I didn't get a half a mile down the road. The enemy said, what did you just do? You an idiot. But a few hours later, my phone rang. And the voice on the other end said, if you would only know. He said, if you would only know what that meant to me. He said, I didn't answer. He said, but when I played that message, it was the right time. Listen, it might not seem like you're doing much. It might not seem like you're saying a whole lot. Just say what the Holy Ghost says say. Because that's all it takes. It don't take a whole lot of words. You know, the Bible says, perfect love cast out all fear. And there was a young man called me one morning. In the wee hours of the morning, he was having trouble. I spoke to him for about an hour. And Brother Josh, the last thing I told him, I said, son, I want you to know I love you. Right before we hung up. And 2 days later, I came up to the church. This young man was in a meeting with Pastor, and I walked up in that office. And we're talking, and he's sharing his heart. And Pastor asked him, he said, the other night when you called, because I let him know that I got the phone call and what was said, let his parents know what he said. Because I felt like they needed to know. He said, what was the last thing before you hung up that was said? He said, he told me he loved me. See, I never called Pastor before that. He told him about the phone call. I never told him about the meeting I had with the young man. Because let me tell you something. When you work hand in hand for the same God, when you work hand in hand with the same purpose, you don't need to call one another. God can put it together. And he said, what was the last thing that was said? He said, Brother Troy told me he loved me. He said, that's what I've been trying to tell you since you sat down right here. Perfect love cast out all fear. No matter what else is said, if we start loving people. Said, no matter what else is said, if we start loving people. You know, there's two things that people can never stop you and I from doing. They don't have to stand there and listen to us. They don't have to sit there and listen to us. But they can never stop you from praying for them and loving them. And that's the two things that will grab their heart. And there's a group of people that's right here in our community that's waiting for us to leave the comfort of our home or leave the comfort of whatever we're doing and go up to them and grab them by the hand and say, let's go. Because the wolves came and devoured some sheep. You say, is there hope, preacher? Yes, there's hope. Because you know what? They're still living. As long as there's life, there's hope. I said, as long as there's life, there's hope. But we have to be willing to hear God. We have to be willing to go when God says go. You say, well, what am I going to do when I get there? Just obey the Spirit of God. I believe, and I feel in my heart as I'm speaking to you this morning, there's some of you that knows exactly who I'm talking about, because the Lord done dealt with you to be that extended hand. Don't be God and go try to change him. Don't try to be God. Let's not try to be Jesus and go try to change him, because he done paid the price. I said he done paid the price. You know why we see these guys? Because the people that went and get them realized Jesus already paid the price. I don't have to pay the price. I just have to be the extended hand through the Spirit of God and speak what the Spirit of God says speak. And a lot of times it's not going to be a whole bunch. You know, Brother Josh and Lil Jack, there's times that they could tell you that I've met them at the marina, at a restaurant or on side of the road or somewhere. And as of many a times, I could have said all kinds of things. Do you know what God said when I got out the vehicle? Just love them. You can't change them. Just love them. And listen, how many times have I met you with the guys at the marina and treated you any different? Not ever. But you know what? I could have. And if I'd have listened to me, I would have. But every time I grabbed the handle of the car door, the Holy Ghost was like, shh, shh, shh. Hey boy, shut up. Just love him. You can't change him. Just keep your mouth shut and love him. Was it hard? I think a couple times the Holy Ghost put both hands over my mouth, because I wanted to get out and get him. But that's not what it's all about. Perfect love cast out all fear. And you know what's one of the biggest fears people running from God's facing? The fear of what their friends are going to say. Do you know when you start loving them? When you start letting them know God cares about you. God loves you. God wants you. That perfect love begins to cause fear to go. And God's able to come in and change your heart. God's able to come in and change your life. But we have to be willing to obey. We have to be willing to say, yes, Lord, let's stand. Hallelujah. If you're here, just play real low. If you're here, as they begin to sing, and I was talking to you this morning, I want you to get out of your seat, and I want you to come line up across the front of this building. And we're going to agree together.
The more I find you, the more I love you.
thank you, Lord. this is your day. God worked out every detail in your life to be here this day. And in your heart, you feel there was times in the past that you felt like, I got it this time. Listen to me. It's not going to be easy. I'll never stand before you or God and tell you that it's going to be without a fight. It's going to be a fight. It's going to be a battle. And there's times that you've said, I got it. I want you to forget about the past. Because the biggest thing that faced you before you walked up here today was the enemy came and he attacked your mind and said, don't go up there. You're not going to make it. Listen, you're an overcomer. I see a winner. I see an overcomer. I see Corey living for God the way God said to. Not to fit man's plan. Not to fit what you think it's going to take to cause somebody to be pleased with what you're doing. I'm talking about please God. Be who God called you to be. Because when he was designing you, when he was making you, when he was forming you in his likeness, in his image, you were made to serve God. But the enemy, many a times, many a mornings, you've woke up on Sunday mornings and said, if I could just get there. But God worked out every detail in your life to be here this morning. God knew exactly what was going to take place this morning. And I'm telling you, you can live a victorious life, an overcoming life for Jesus. It don't matter what people says about you, because let me tell you, people gave up on you. Man gave up on you. Man said you'll never amount to anything. Man said you'll never do it. But God said you can. Philippians 4:13 says, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God is your way maker. It's not what I think. If I take this mic and throw it on the floor and walk out of this church door, never return and never serve God again, you can serve God. I said you can serve God. You can live a victorious life for God. And you could be the man God designed you to be because of obedience. And I want you to look around. Before you leave this morning, I want you to get some phone numbers. And when you're having struggles, you're going through a hard time, call somebody. It might be 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. It don't matter. I'd rather have you call me at 2 o'clock in the morning and stay on the phone for an hour or two talking and going over scripture and just encouraging you than to not see you come back. That's how much it means to me that you serve God. I'd rather come up here and sit down and talk with you for hours and go over scripture and just show you in the word of God that you could overcome this. See, the biggest battle you face is man came against you and called you a failure. But I'm telling you, you're an overcomer through the blood of the Lamb. Through Jesus Christ, your Savior, you're an overcomer. You got this. You can make it. Don't ever feel like you got to go through this alone. Let me tell you how real God wants to be to you. I'm 50 years old. And I have never, I want you to hear me, I have never had my dad do this and say, I love you. In fact, I don't even know him. But you know what? Through all the years, right before I got married, God put godly men in my life and taught me how to be a dad. God put men in my life that taught me how to be a husband. Because I never had a dad to teach me those things. And God will put somebody in your life to help you in every situation. There were several people that God put in my life that I was able to go to. And they began to teach me. And I'm telling you, it's only by the grace of God that I'm standing where I'm standing. One of the most fearful times in my life was 2 weeks before I turned 18 years old. I was in church, but fear hit me because I knew I was about to become a man. I knew my life was about to change. And I'll never forget what I said. I said, Lord, I had nobody to teach me. I had nobody to go and put his arms around me and say, son, you can make it. But at that moment, the Spirit of God showed up. And he wrapped his arms around me and he said, son, I placed several dads in your life. He didn't place, I only have one father and that's God. But he placed several dads in my life to help me along the way. And I'm telling you, you are an overcomer. And come, what's your wife's name? Allie, come up here. Listen to me. I have a shirt that I wear every now and then. And it's on the back of this shirt is a fireman running into a fire. In the words that reads across the top of it says, failure's not an option. Listen, this is your reason. This is your reason to make it. Because God called you to be the head of the house. He called you to be the leader and teach your family how to serve God. And I want to let you know that we want to be here to help you. Don't have to be like it was in the past. Because you're an overcomer. See, I never wrote you off. And I could tell you, our pastor never called you a failure. He never once looked at you and considered you to be a failure. And he wants to help you. He's not here. He don't even know what's going on in this service. But I'm telling you, he wants to help you and he will help you. But we need to know. When you're struggling, call. You know what? Most of the time when you make the call, we'll be expecting it because the Holy Ghost already have us praying for you. That's the awesome thing about God. I'm telling you, failure is not an option. And you are a godly man. You can live a godly life. All you got to do is just completely, totally surrender. Just surrender all to him. And there might be times that you just find yourself in your bedroom or in your living room. You want to lead your kids? Let them hear you talk about how great God is. Let them hear you talk about how awesome serving God is. You know, I never realized. I always felt for a long time, even after my kids were grown and had kids, I felt like I failed them. I felt like I just wasn't there. And I couldn't be there because I never had a dad to lead me. Until a couple years ago, on a Father's Day, that I received some cards that said, "I thank you for being a man God called you to be. I thank you for being willing to be different and be a godly man." Because even though I didn't show it, even though I never might have never said it, I seen how that God used you to teach us what it is to serve God. And that's all God wants, just obedience. You be obedient to Him, and He'll be faithful and just to give you the strength it takes, and the wisdom and the knowledge, and open up the mind of your understanding on how to serve Him. You're not going to do it like I do it. You're not going to do it like little Jack or Josh. You're not going to do it like Pastor. Because God designed you to just be Corey and be His son. He wants to be your father. And all you have to do is be His son. And be willing to go to Him. God, I'm struggling, Lord. I need some help here. And you'll just find He'll just surround you with strength. He'll surround you with people willing to help you. And you know, there's going to be times that you'll have to tell your friends, "No, I can't do that." And you know, let's just be real. Some of them's not going to want to be your friend no more. But never let it change who God called you to be. Because even though they choose not to want to hang out with you, even though they choose not to want to be around you, they're still looking at you. And our prayer is that God, they'll see something that'll make them want you. That'll make them want to change and quit living a life that they're living. But you can make it. I love you, and I appreciate you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come sing. I need me two guys, not you, you already there. I need two guys look at me, son. You know we love you. Care about you. You can make it. And we want to be here to help you. You know what? For a long time, listen to Nicole. Come over here. You know why every now and then y'all walk in and I'll just grab him? I'll just let him know that I'm here. It's been a struggle for him. But you know what? God never overlooked him. God cares about him. And I'm asking this church, here's a young man. When I talked about the sheet of paper, this is the one. See, Brian, I know what it is to have a pastor walk into the workplace and they crumble you up like an old wrote on piece of paper and throw you away. Because it happened to me by a pastor. Know what God done? just a few hours later, just a short time later, he said, I never threw you away. I'm not giving up on you. And son, we're not giving up on you. In this position, it never even left the hand yet. God said, I choose him. And it's like before he hit the ground, God had somebody to receive him. He had his hand like that in heaven and picked him up. And he said, I'm not allowed this. And it seemed like you lost, it seemed like it was over. It seemed like there was nothing that could be done, and all of a sudden, he's back in your life. Listen, the enemy went out shouting. The enemy went out hollering victory. But it was only for a season. Because God began to work out details. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you, Lord, for peace like never before. Love, joy, God, a happiness that would just fill his soul like never before, Lord. Father, the enemy has attacked his mind, and I come against it in the name of Jesus. By the power of the blood of Jesus, I come against it. And I speak peace. I speak peace, Lord. God, we're going to love him so much that fear has to go. Fear can't stay here anymore. But I speak peace to his mind, to his heart, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it, Lord. I claim it done, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Peace, Lord. Peace, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I honor you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come over here. Come here. Hallelujah. I want everybody in this church to point your hand this way. Come here, little Jack. Come right here. God's fixing a change. This child will not be the same from this day forth. I want y'all to see, I know the situation. I want you to obey God, both of you. Whatever has to be said, and I want you to pray for him. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart to say, obey God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Show me your glory, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Pastor Chad, come up here. Sister Marlena. Hallelujah. Come stand right here by sister, right next to Sister Nita. Who else does youth with y'all? Somebody, she's in a nursery. Go get Sister Andy out the nursery. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I want everybody to stand up. Come up here. Join hands. Y'all just stand right here. We're about to pray for this group. I want you to hear me. At 1:39 this morning, I'm talking about I was sound asleep and woke up. Sleep left me. It's about the fifth time that it has happened in the last month. Peyton and Dakota are the two sheep I was talking about this morning that the wolf came in and devoured them. And listen to me. If you're here, if you don't believe, you can sit down. But if you're here, because listen, your child's not exempt from this. You know when it becomes reality? When you get the knock on the door. Or you drive up to a scene and it's somebody that you're related to. And I can tell you, over the last few months, I've been called to some pretty serious scenes. We don't have time to decide whether or not we're going to go out and get them, because the devil's working overtime to destroy our kids. I said the enemy is working overtime to destroy our kids, and it's time that we quit sitting back and allowing it. You know, for a long time I said, I'm not going to get into their business. I'm not going to say anything. But when I started getting phone calls and I started getting asked, do you want to attend a meeting? Do you want to be the host of a meeting with the sheriff's department and some parents in our community? It's not far off. The first meeting is this coming Thursday night. I'll be in Belchase setting everything up. And don't be surprised if I don't give you a phone call and say, such and such night, I need you to be here. Because it's concerning your kids. It's concerning your grandkids. It might be somebody in your family's kids. But it's time. Listen, the church is given an opportunity, and we're going to take it. I said the church is given an opportunity, and we're going to take it. I can tell you, in the history of Plaquemine Parish, the churches has not been involved in the sheriff's department like it is now. Because there was never that opportunity. But you know what happened? God said enough is enough. But it was about 5 nights in the wee hours of the morning that the Lord just woke me up. In the two faces, the two names was Peyton and Dakota. And God said, what are you going to do about it? Listen, for too many years, the church sat back when people left and said, oh, they just don't want to serve God. They're looking for something to replace what only God can give. And unless we go and let them know that we're concerned about them, I said, unless we are willing to go and let them know we're praying for them, we love them. You might be the one that God says, go and grab them by the hand and say, let's go take a ride. The first question is going to be, where are we going? Just get in. There is nobody in the world can stand up and tell me that they just don't want to serve God. They're looking for something to replace an emptiness that was caused when they walked away from God. And unless we go back and lead them to the right place, the devil is going to kill them. You say, how serious it is? It's a matter of life and death. Because if you die spiritually, it's no worse than being dead naturally. If you're going to live lost and undone without God, you're no better off than if you just die out off the face of the earth if you're going to try to live without God. But they're better than that. And let me tell you something. They should mean more than that to us. I'm telling you, it's been a struggle. Because I've sat back and I've watched people just let them go. You say, well, how do you know God's dealing with them? Listen to me. I can tell you when you get around them, if they get around somebody that's saved, because of the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, they try to avoid you. Listen, I know what it is to live a backslid life. And every time I got around somebody that was saved, I done everything in my power not to get close to them. I know what it is to live a life and be scared to go to sleep. Because I knew if I would die, I would bust hell wide open. But you know what? I also know what it is to have a God full of grace. Sitting on a borrowed chair from the Burris High School. And a pastor stand behind the pulpit and say, God's not done and we're not leaving until he's done. And when he said that, it's like all 50 people in the church turned around and looked at me. And I'll never forget turning around and I knelt down and I said, God, I'm tired of running. God, I'm tired of living an empty life. I'm tired of living, being defeated by the enemy. But you know what happened? When our pastor said what he said, it was no different than if he'd have came back then, he'd have grabbed me by the hand and said, you can make it. Because I knew from the very time I walked into the church, every word he spoke, he was speaking to me. And by the way, if you ever walk in the church and you feel like the preacher's talking to you, it's probably because he is. And I can tell you my life hadn't been the same since. But from the time I woke up that morning and I stepped into the shower, and I remember when I was walking into the shower, I looked at my wife, I said, I'm coming to church. I was coming so she can shut up. I was coming so she could leave me alone. But little did she know that when I stepped into the shower, God said, after this day, you'll never be the same. And I stood through the whole song service. I made it through the preaching. I said, I got this. We about to go home and I'll be okay. And he stood behind that pulpit. And he said, God's not done and we're not leaving. I said, maybe I don't have this. And I was in the old building out in the front, about the same position where Ivan's at, about that area. And I'm telling you, everybody in church turned around and looked at me like, what are you going to do now? And all I could do was turn around and I fell on my knees and I began to cry out to God. Because God said enough is enough. And this morning God's telling us enough is enough. There is no reason the enemy needs to come back into this church or any other church throughout this parish and steal another soul. It's our duty. I said it's our duty to do something about it. And we're going to agree together. And I'm going to share this with you. I know some of you heard it, but I'm going to say it again. About 5:30 on a Sunday evening, when the Fellowship Baptist Church was across the street where the little church is now, I'm up on Grand Bayou, had a 4:00 service that I preached. And we dismissed, it was about 5:30, 5:45. And the Spirit of God spoke these words. He said, I want you to go get in your car. Tell them hurry up because I had to cross the canal in a boat. He said, get to your car and go to the Baptist church. And I remember doing this. I said, Lord, by the time I get there, they'll be dismissed. I got in my car. I told the pastor, I said, look, I need to get to my car. I got another church to go to, so bring me across. I got to my car, I come down, and I'll never forget it. I passed up the Baptist church. And when I got in front of this church, I turned around after I got whipped by the Spirit of God. He said, go back. And I walked in that church When I came through the back door, Sister Jerry, everybody was standing up. The pastor's behind the pulpit, and he's praying the dismissal prayer. And when he said amen and he opened his eyes, I'm standing at that back door. He said, "Preacher, where you been? We've been waiting for you." And I told the Lord that night, I said, "You'll never have to tell me twice again." Because I come to a realization in my life. God's not going to send you somewhere where he hadn't already prepared the people. When he said, we've been waiting on you, I could have melted into the floor. And I got up and I shared what the Lord told me to share with them. And the very next Sunday, I was preaching in that church. But I said that to say this. God is not going to wake you up, or God's not going to lay somebody on your heart to talk to that he hadn't already prepared them to hear what he tells you to tell them. They're waiting on us. Look at your neighbor and tell them they're waiting on us. God already prepared, he done tilled the ground. I said he done tilled the ground. The seed's already been planted. It needs some watering. I said it needs some watering. What's going to water it? Obedience. Are they going to like what we have to say? Probably not. Do it in love. Perfect love cast out all fear. You know what's the biggest battle most people face when they walk out of a church? That they're not welcome back. Said the biggest battle most people face when they walk away from God is they think they're not welcome back. The prodigal son, that dad went out every day and he looked for him. Said he went out every day and he looked for him. And the Bible says when he seen his son afar off, he didn't wait for him to get to the gate. He seen him down the road. He ran out and he met him. Listen, we have a prodigal son out there. We have a prodigal's daughter out there. And we need to start looking. And when we see him afar off, we need to run with haste. So we need to run with haste. We need to kill the fatted calf. We need to put a ring on their finger, put shoes on their feet, and let them know that their father is standing here waiting for them. Their father's ready to forgive them. Let's be obedient to the Spirit of God. Let's be obedient and allow God to use us. Listen, the next person that God lays on my heart might be your son or daughter. How drastic would it be for me to turn a deaf ear to the Spirit of God and an enemy comes in and destroys them? That wouldn't be good. It wouldn't be good for them and it wouldn't be good for me. So let's obey God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against every binding spirit of hell. I come against every devil of hell that's going to try to destroy Peyton and Dakota. I claim their souls for you. They belong to you, Lord. They are your property. And I'm asking you, Father, to teach us, show us how to go out and get them. Go grab them by the hand, Lord, and take them for a ride and let them feel your love. Let them feel your power. Let them feel your anointing. To let them know, God, that you're going to forgive them. And there's nothing they can find out in the world that's going to replace what you have for them. Father, I'm asking you for a release by your anointing upon the people of this church, that whether it's Peyton and Dakota or any other young person or any other older person, that will be willing to go out and go get them and bring them back to you, Father. In the name of Jesus, I claim it done. I thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look, you might be going down the road and see one of them. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God says, pick them up. Speak what the Lord tells you to speak in love and allow God. Listen, I can't change them. You can't change them. The perfect love casts out all fear. Because right now they're fearing coming back. They're fearing coming back. But love's going to get rid of that. All our job is to love them and say what God says, not what I think. Because I could tell you, if I'd have left the message I thought I should have left when I called Brother Josh, pastor would have had to pick him up more than once. But I had to obey the Spirit of God. You know, if I'd have told him those times I seen him at the marina, with the flesh thought, he wouldn't have felt no love. All I'd have done was cause more fear. But I'm telling you, sometimes the Holy Ghost would put both of his hands on my mouth and say, shut up, just love, just love. Lord, you sure you don't want me to say this? Listen, love, 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 love. Sometimes it's hard. But God never called you. If you have the same problem I had, remember this. God didn't call you to change no one. All he called us to do is love and deliver a message and let him do the changing. Because when people change because God changed them, it lasts. When people change because they fell in love with God, you can see a difference in their life. We love you. We appreciate you. Let's pray for our pastors. I don't even know where they're at. I kind of figured he wasn't here. But I was waiting for Brother Josh to come and preach. You know, I figured he was ready. And when Sister Linda picked up the mic, he turned around and looked at me like, what are you doing? But this is a good indication for those of you that's called to do ministry. I don't always know when pastor's not going to be here. But one thing I do know is no matter where I go, be ready to preach. You know, I didn't understand why I had the dream I had this morning until I got behind the pulpit. And my prayer is that man can get beside themselves and start being willing to give glory to God and not try to take God's credit. Because all we are is messengers. And you know, I at the end of the dream, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why didn't he have enthusiasm? Why wasn't there no excitement? He said, because you didn't talk about what doctors done. You didn't talk about what man done. He said, you talked about what I done, and because man wasn't edified, people has a problem receiving it. You know, I had people come to my shop, and I tell them right after. One guy said, well, did it affect your ability to make nets? Said, yeah, it made me better. And, you know, when I told him all the symptoms and indications was that I had a stroke. He starts looking at me and he's moving his mouth, and I'm like, dude, God healed me. There is no more symptoms. There's no evidence. Because when God does it, he does it right. The only thing that affects my ability to make nets is if you get carried away with a drill and you twist your hand. But let's continue to pray for one another. Let's continue to allow God to be God. Give him the glory. I want you to be in prayer for me, because throughout this week I'll be around a lot of lost people. And my goal is to not say nothing, but live a life that people can see Jesus. You know, when we come into the docks at night and we're cleaning up the net and cleaning the boat, there's a lot of people that's lost there, that's undone without God. And I want something to reflect out of my life that they can see Jesus. You know, I don't want to have to wear a shirt saying I'm saved. I don't want to have to wear a shirt saying I go to Faith Temple. But I want my actions and a reflection of my life to say Jesus. I want the reflection of my life to say, give God the glory. Can that happen? Absolutely. Be in prayer for my wife. We just got a phone call. She'll be working a little bit for a guy that I used to work for. And I've been questioning the Lord for 2 weeks since we got the first phone call, and there's something about the phone call. I think it was more to the phone call than just asking, can you come and clean? Because the first question was, are you still preaching? They use cleaning as an excuse, but I believe that God is putting it back together so that we can share God's glory with them. You know, because I said, Lord, why all of a sudden after all these years, my phone rang? And the only thing I can come up with is share my glory. Explain who I am. And that's what we're going to do. We just want to share God's glory with them. Share who God really is with them. So that they could have their eyes open and understand what it is to serve God.
God is good, huh? That he takes his time out and love on us at the perfect time. Let's remember the announcements. Practice at 3. Let's be in prayer for pastoring them as they ministering in Alabama. And you're dismissing the name of Jesus.